You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, this is Nick, and I'm on panel with...
Hello, this is Daniel, and I'm on panel with Nick.
And this is Charlie.
And we're just here to ask you a little bit about our upcoming Public Defender Month. So the way this is going to work is starting on February 1st, which is soon, so I hope you're going to do this, and then until Valentine's Day, the February 14th, we're going to have you guys call in and tweet in and email in and tell us the movies you want us to defend instead.
Are you lonely on Valentine's Day? Give us a call.
Yeah. Three red wines in, three glasses to the wind. We want you to tell, brokenhearted, tell us, you know, my ex used to watch this every... Oh, that would be something.
You know there's at least one person out there that has that movie in mind.
So just because we're here and we're telling stories, do any of you have a movie that was ruined because you saw it with an ex or anything? Because I have a story while you're thinking of one.
Go ahead with your story.
So I was in high school, and we were watching the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, the first one.
Yeah.
And we were making out or something. The girl's shirt was askew, and the mom came down to the basement.
Oh, boy.
When you say askew, what do you mean exactly?
Possibly still on. But that was a slim possibility. And so from then on, I'm just like, if I watch this movie... She could come down the stairs, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I've seen that movie since 2003 or whatever.
When I was young, a long time ago, I went out with a girl on a date, and obviously I was there.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait, a girl?
A girl. Okay. A girl. And obviously I was very confused, but we went to see Silence of the Lambs.
a date film, if I've ever heard of one.
A date film, if you ever heard of one. Good and Lord. I was... Throughout that movie, I didn't know what I was doing. I was nervous as hell, and I kept saying awkward, creepy things, actually. You know, when the guy, like, kidnapped the girl and threw her in the back of his van, I was like, oh, yeah, I could never do that. And I'm like, why does my date need to know that?
Pretending you have a broken arm and need to move a couch. That's pretty clever. I mean.
And so basically to this day, when I watch that movie, I think about my awkward first date with this girl and actually my first lady kiss.
Ooh.
There you go.
Yep.
I know my first date was when I took a girl in high school to see The Incredibles.
I mean, that's not a bad movie, though. So
No, that wasn't
bad. Can you watch it without thinking of a high school girlfriend?
Yeah, I think the one movie I can't watch because it used to be their favorite is West Side Story. She was a big fan of that.
Oh, that'll do it.
So I've only ever seen that once, but every time I see it or listen to it, it's like, oh, I remember how much she loved that movie.
It's funny because I also saw with the same girl... The Music Man with Matthew Broderick. But luckily, I've never had the compulsion to watch it again. But anyway.
How was her shirt then?
It was buttoned down tight. That wasn't doing anything for anyone. So while we're here, what we want you to do is call in with a movie. Tell us your name, your location, whatever information you want to give about you, why you think it would make a great episode. But you're going to email us at myopiapodcast@gmail.com, or if... You're not following us yet. We're on Twitter at Myopia Podcast. We have over 10,000 followers. So if you're not following us, what are you doing? But if you want to hear your voice on the podcast, the number is 770-835-5578. That's our podcast voicemail. It's a Google Voice, so you can record your voicemail up to 2 minutes, and we will give it to you.
And we won't edit it either.
No, we won't. Unless there's a lot of barfing because you're so drunk. Now, if you want to record yourself and send it an email, you could do that too. But tune in as we put your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys. Well, so... Over the course of this show, we've tried to figure out what the show is, which, as you, our regular listeners, know, we really still have not quite found out. But we've been working on it. And sometimes we do good movies, but only in the terms of doing a bad movie afterwards. And though Daniel argues that the first movie is overrated, the Revolution movie, Matrix Revolutions and Matrix Reloaded, are terrible. And not only do I wish they'd not been made, not unlike, I guess, early guest Jamie pretends like the Land Before Time sequels don't exist, this movie is such a mess, such a gross mess, that I don't know if there were shooting schedules mistakes, but like Keanu Reeves disappears for large chunks of the movie. Lawrence Fishburne is like not important. Carrie Moss, or whatever, Kate Moss, or Carrie Ann Moss, I think is, just doesn't matter. I'm getting flustered trying to remember to talk about, like, it just, it's horrible. So I guess enjoy us talking about it and getting very angry. If you're listening to this when it comes out, you're just a few days away from the start of our Public Defender Month. February 1st, we're going to open the doors to take requests, and then we will do a kind of drawing based on what you guys have submitted to figure out what movies we're going to do. We'll announce them together, and then we will do a whole month devoted to your public defending. That being said as well, on February 7th, I will be riffing with Cineprov, the, I guess, also former episode, and classic movie Roadhouse. So, thanks.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show, we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks.
Welcome to Movie Defender Childhood. This week we end Disappointing Sequels Month by doing one of my audibles. I only realized after we had scheduled the rest of the month that there were five Thursdays this month. So I just looked at our list and realized that all of us were disappointed in the Matrix sequels. Honestly, I think it was on every single one of our lists. So with that in mind, we were going to do the second one, which is Matrix Reloaded, I think, which might be the worst sequel name ever. But regular panelist Jeremy Reigel reminded us that the third movie was the one we should be doing almost immediately after I posted that we were doing Reloaded. So this week on My Opinion Defender Childhood, we remind you that maybe Speed Racer wasn't as bad as you remembered. I'm host Nick Coffin, riffer on Cineprov, award-winning riffer on Cineprov, and on panel this week we have...
Not award-winning yet horror writer Matthew W. Quinn, emphasis on yet.
I mean, how about now? Now? Now. Now, now.
Oh, I'm
how
just...
How now, brown cow?
Yeah.
I'm just getting news. No.
No.
They like me. They really like me.
They tolerate me. They really tolerate me. No.
There we go.
I get that. Hello, this is Daniel, and there's at least five copies of me running around somewhere.
Whoa. Hello, Mr. Anderson. And I, too, am also looking for a Mr. Anderson.
You...
Is that a Craigslist ad you just did right there?
Yeah, I guess so.
Misconnections.
A misconnections ad. That's exactly. Smell that joke to 12 years ago.
Is Agent Smith that desperate he puts a Craigslist ad?
Well, I can picture it.
He kind of is. So for those of you who are thinking about raves and like weird orgies and meeting the architect, that all happens in the other movie. This is the movie
also,
where...
Also at Burning Man.
Well, yeah. And this is the movie where nothing happens in it. I had forgotten how little happens in this terrible movie, but there nothing happens in this movie.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree. Nothing happened in the second one except a bunch of stylish nonsense. In this one, a whole bunch of stuff happened. It was all just sort of...
Also
it
nonsense.
Was just all kind of, eh.
It's also... Keanu Reeves is barely in this movie. How does that... How do you screw that up?
Whoa.
Easily. Well, I'll tell you what this movie is missing. I'll tell you what this movie is missing. Cans! It's missing cans! Nick gets it.
I acknowledge it.
He acknowledges it.
It was only cans. You make him sound like he's hitting something with a lead pipe. It was cans.
Well, he's always hitting something with a lead pipe.
Yeah, well.
Right before I saw this, I rewatched John Wick, and I realized, you know, John Wick's also kind of stupid, but damn it if it isn't stylish.
Well, I mean, you and I were getting into this a little bit on the internet. Ticker, no,
oh, on that the messenger series, interwebs,
the yeah. series of tubes.
But the whole point of it was like the first one is like Descartes for idiots, but it's a really good action movie. Like the effects yeah. are good, and like the scenes that don't hold up are like when he wakes up in a puddle of goo, and like they're explaining philosophy, and everyone talks about the red pill and like voting Republican or whatever that meme going around is.
Oh, that just means you become a Nazi.
Yeah, very, very. Also, like. In the third movie, okay, so the first movie they set up that, like, these are their hacker names. Like, these are their AOL screen names, right? There's a character in this one called Link, and I'm just like, yeah, he may name himself after a Nintendo character because that's exactly what nerds do. And you realize when they're supposed to be warriors that just becomes real stupid.
Who is Link? Was that the
Black guy with dreads.
The dread guy.
All right.
The one who's, like, a Dozer's brother, I think.
Oh, yeah, the new operator.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. Neo sounds cool. Morpheus sounds cool. Trinity, it's not bad. The rest are just crap. Also, the idea that Joey Pants is a hacker, you can go screw right off. I imagine Morpheus in the real world just hacking stuff. He's just like, we should get the free New York Times. And he's just as a hacker, he's Larry Fishburne, by the way.
Yeah.
Sitting in his cheese is in the crust, Neo.
Oh, do you remember that Super Bowl commercial when Larry Fishburne reprised Morpheus?
Someone needed a garage. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Daniel, do you want to try to hack out the plot of this movie?
Well, I didn't watch Matrix Reloaded before I watched this, which I think was a mistake in retrospect.
I didn't have the time either. But here's the thing. For those of you who didn't live through this, Matrix comes out in 1999 and is a smash success.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was out of nowhere. It was out of nowhere, like, because no one had heard this property before. I don't think anyone knew who the Wachowskis really were at
that
point.
Well, they had done one movie before this called Bound, which is actually really good.
So what is it? I've never even heard of Bound.
It's about this, like, lesbian couple that are trying to rob a bunch of money from Cypher from the first one.
Yes.
That actor.
I've heard of this movie, though.
Yeah. It's really good.
So, okay, fine. They're relatively known directors, but that's a fairly small movie compared to this.
Yeah.
The first Matrix is a smash success for Fox. It immediately has... I mean, it changes everything. Like, the way they do bullet time effectively becomes a staple. And if you haven't seen it, which I'm sure some of our younger listeners haven't, it's amazing. Now, I don't know how well it holds up if you didn't see it at the time, because everyone ripped off the effects immediately.
This was the first time I remember all the
fandom and the fandom rage about anticipating what these sequels would be.
Right, because the first one came out in 99, and then there was, like, I think a video game for PlayStation, and then you have the Animatrix, which was relatively popular, but it had a small release. Like, it was essentially...
It was a direct-to-DVD sort of thing, wasn't it?
It was in theaters. It was in theaters.
Was.
I worked in the theater at the time when it was out. And It was garbage.
No, the Animatrix was actually okay.
It's just a weird thing to put out. And because it's, I think, four shorts, right? And they're all 3D animated. Right?
Something like that. I only remember one of them, well, two of them directly. One was about the history of the machines taking over. The other was about the kid and Reloaded it and how he got free of the Matrix.
I think I've never seen it, but I remember there was also The Last Flight of the Osiris, which is, I think, how they find out the machine army is coming for Zion.
Oh, yeah. That was the one that was like 3D and it looked like that Final Fantasy movie that nobody watched.
And they were right to do so. But the reason why I remember this being weird is it's the first time I remember where the movies stopped counting. It's the rule that we always have, which is like Matt Quinn might write an entire B script or look up all the Wikipedia stuff for the stuff we missed. But it doesn't matter, because if it's not on the screen, the director generally ignores it. And that's why George Lucas can decide something is canon or not, because if it's not on the screen, it doesn't matter. That's why Sebulba's, like many turbulent marriages, have been thrown out. But here, like the comic books, the video game, the Animatrix, all actually informed movies 2 and 3, which is a real shame.
I remember the Enter the Matrix video game. Renting that from Blockbuster back in the day.
Let us play the mournful violin.
No, man. I'll tell you what.
Fuck that. Blockbuster doesn't deserve it.
I'll tell you why I bummed out about Blockbuster gone. I liked walking down the aisles, but it was the biggest ripoff. Like, you were late a day. I remember paying like $10 for late fee. It was just, it was the worst. Like, they were destined to fail.
Even if you weren't a day late, they'd try and charge you late fees.
Blue-shirted pricks. Anyway,
I'm sure the actual employees of the Blockbuster franchises were wonderful people, but their corporate overlords were just not good people.
PepsiCo or whoever owned that company.
I don't know.
So, here's the thing. The first Matrix movie begins with
I remember back in the day, and this is something that I think is unique to our generation now, where I had to wait for it to be on TBS. Mm-hmm. On a special premiere night, and then I'd have to record it on my VCR.
And it was a good one.
I'm agreeing with you. There was such a thing once as a VCR.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Well, I mean, they used to make a big deal about doing premieres for movies. But now, like, a bad movie will be in theaters for a week and then on TV the next week, which is crazy. The first Matrix begins with... Is it John Anderson? I forget his first name.
Thomas Anderson. I thought the first Matrix began with Trinity, but then she does this crazy kung fu stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's not what I was going to bring up. But essentially, it's the stupid cliche movie plot of him being the one. And so it starts out with him being a nerdy programmer and ends with him defeating his enemy in what's kind of a nice tight package. He defeats Agent Smith. And the whole world is safe. And then people are like, hey, make another movie. And they're like, well, we didn't plan on another movie.
No.
And he's like, but what if we gave you all the money in the universe and let you have 3 other movies after that? And they said, we can make movies for you.
Oh, do you remember when Newsweek was an actual magazine?
And not just a blog? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. They had a Matrix sequel preview for like the December before this came out. Where they were speculating on what the trailers meant, and they were like trying to interview the cast to try and get what the plot would be. Oh, it was so ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I was a film minor in a satire class, and my satire professor was convinced these sequels were brilliant. Absolutely. I mean, it's the kind of thing that only a professor could love. But after the first one, Neo becomes the one in many ways. And then we have a 4-year wait where he decides that Keanu Reeves is going to tour with his band, whatever, Electric Boogaloo. I forget what the name of his band.
Dog Star.
Thank you.
I thought that's how he avoided Speed 2.
I think that might have just been a rumor. I think Speed 2, which we did just a couple months ago, is a tripe. It is.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think he was filming... Devil's Advocate at the time.
Yeah, I think that was really... Right. I think the director of Speed 2 was actually making that up to just smear him for not being in Speed 2, and there were some legal issues.
It's so amazing that the movies that Keanu Reeves are in, he's either perfectly cast or an utter abomination.
You're talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula, aren't you?
I am, as well as The Devil's Advocate and a whole bunch of stuff he's done.
I will say, though, this movie, he's a bad casting choice, but the directors make him be the... Like, he was never this character before.
I disagree. I think he was actually a decent cast addition because he actually acts clueless.
I'll give you that. I didn't think of it that way, but I was just thinking, like, he's the silent antagonist, like, the silent protagonist, which he never has been before. Like think of his previous big movies. Like, he was in Speed, he was in Bill and Ted. Like, he's this big, over-the-top character. He does the cluelessness, but he's not exactly a subtle character, usually.
Well, have you heard who they originally wanted to cast?
Was it Nick Cage?
No. It was Will Smith as Neo, and they wanted Sean Connery's Morpheus.
This is already after he turned down League of Extraordinary... No, he had done League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, right? Wasn't that why he quit movies?
For a while.
For him. He at least could admit shame.
I'm trying to think if he's done anything other than voice work since then.
Nope.
So he kept the Gene Hackman rule.
Yeah.
I mean, good on him. I mean, Welcome to Mooseport would kill anyone's motivation to act.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen would kill anybody's career.
It's just not good. I mean, and to wit, I don't know anyone else who's in it, but not many of the actors made it out of that movie alive. But we need to finally talk about this movie. I was trying to get to it. The second movie starts out with Neo kind of like half taking
over.
Well,
it starts out with a dream sequence, if I recall correctly, where Neo's having a nightmare about Trinity dying.
Yep.
And is it prophetic?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of these sequels come out within 6 months of each other. I think one comes out in the summer, one comes out in the fall.
Yeah, is that something that's ever been done before? I remember that being a big deal.
Back to the Future kind of did it.
Yeah, it came out about 9 months apart, I think. I don't know. It's just it just goes to show that they knew they didn't have anything here, I feel like. But regardless, the first one ends with Neo getting stuck between worlds, and that's where this movie starts out. Him and a guy named Bane are on two planks in the medical bay. We don't know like what's going to happen to them.
And okay, and Bane, by the way, has been possessed by Agent Smith.
But they don't know that yet.
Yeah, since this is a to-be-continued situation, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's not really a sequel, it's just like a second half of a movie.
Is there a way they could have been edited together to make one sequel?
I am still pissed off about what Avengers Infinity War did. Because it just sort of ends in the middle of the story and there's no complete character arcs. I don't know. Well, this actual movie opens up with Neo waking up in the middle of a train station and Morpheus and Trinity trying to figure out where he is after his adventures in Reloaded, where he finds out, oh, I still have the power to create an EMP and destroy these Sentinels that are about to destroy our ship.
Yeah, he demonstrates his God-tier powers in the real world as opposed to being in the Matrix.
Right.
Well, and the other side of it is that first movie, Reloaded, which is nothing, has some really good fight scenes in it. Like Morpheus and all the people get the shit kicked out of them by about 200 Agent Smiths. At one point, Neo is fighting like 200 Agent Smiths.
This came out the same year as the Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yep, it did.
And there were so many critics who compared that to the
Crazy 88s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I mean, and they're not wrong to do it. This just feel like that first movie has like a rave and it has love stories. This one is just like a dour war movie where Keanu's just not in it, like at all. Effectively, what this whole plot is the Agent Smiths are trying to assimilate everyone, including early on the Oracle, and Morpheus, who's in various stages of not knowing what the hell has happened, is somehow demoted to like the least important person in this movie.
Still a surprisingly diverse cast. I mean, especially with Zion, Trinity and Neo are like the only white people in this movie.
The rest of the panel of elders has like one white dude and like Cornel West and like all these weird like
there's
not
white
actors.
Woman in there, but
yeah, it's just a weird, very broad. This movie just feels like nothing gets going. And I guess case in point, we've been talking for 15 minutes without even getting into this.
Yet no one people seem to know that Bane is acting very strangely and he is acting like Hugo Weaving Agent Smith and no one seems to notice. But the ship captain is like, do what you have to get it out of him. Like he's authorizing his doctor to torture him and then leaves her alone with him and then he shivs her.
Well, they probably don't know who Agent Smith is.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is
they know someone set off the EMP when they weren't supposed to, that destroyed Zion's fleet. They know this one guy is acting twitchy AF. Yes, I said that.
You sure did.
And they know enough that they need to interrogate him using extreme methods, and they proceed to leave the two of them alone on the ship. I mean, this whole movie has got a lot of really bad decisions.
Should I go ahead and explain the plot?
Well, we were trying. Yes, go ahead.
Essentially, two storylines happening in this movie. One of them takes place at Zion, where the Sentinels from the first movie and the second movie are boring into the center of the Earth to destroy human civilization, which apparently only exists at Zion. The other storyline happens with Agent Smith assimilating everyone who's still connected to the Matrix, like a computer virus, to be him. And Neo makes this deal with the machines who supposedly control the world to say, I'm the only one who can eliminate Agent Smith, and they agree. And then there's Dragon Ball Z fight, and then it's the end of the franchise.
I found the movie enjoyable, but the more you think about it, the more bad decisions people make. Like, also, they have all these exo-squad suits that are like more like the power loader from Aliens that are completely open, so anyone could just shoot in there and kill the pilot, or stab them with machine tentacles and kill the pilot. They are so incredibly indefensible. And this is Zion's heavy attack force, and you could just to take out one of them by shooting the pilot with a handgun.
I remember back in the day where people were pissed off at Reloaded's ending because they thought that the Zion attack had already happened.
And, what was his name again? The guy possessed by Smith?
Bane.
Yeah, that Bane was the only survivor.
What happened was, I think that Bane had been possessed by Smith and he triggered an EMP that destroyed all the Zion's fleet.
No, that's what happened, but I'm saying at the end, nobody knew what happened.
This movie is the pinnacle of not explaining stuff by over-explaining it. Let's start back. This movie is designed to be like the end of a trilogy, blah, 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 blah. They think they've set up, like you said, two plots going simultaneously. Let's follow one at a time because this movie is a mess. They're on a ship that's out in the middle of nowhere, and Jada Pinkett Smith face shoves Morpheus out of the way. And says, I'm the best pilot. And we're like, we'll take your word for it. Because we have no reason to either believe her or disbelieve her. But she's going to do something impossible. She's going to fly down the trench and arrive at the one spot where they can penetrate the defenses through one gate. Because someone saw Star Wars. And when they get right to the edge, they're going to release their special weapon, which is going to completely disable the enemy. Although it's not going to disable the enemy. They've had a second Death Star that they've been building all along, just like Return of the Jedi.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you noticed why I hate this movie? It's bullshit. Second, the philosophy isn't expanded here. At the end, the Oracle just comes back and is another pleasant old black lady who's like, you know, this piece will last as long as you let it last because I'm a computer program. I'm another computer program. Let's talk to each other like people who aren't people.
Let's go ahead and get into the philosophy behind this movie, which is why so many people loved it and why it's such bullshit, is because it's philosophy 101. I mean, any intelligent person would have picked up on these. And that's not meant to be like a key to anything or a key to figuring out this movie. That's just sort of there to make you feel intelligent. And it was present in the first Matrix.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I remember explaining that to some ninth graders and it, like, blowing their mind, like the whole Descartian imperative of like whether or not we exist. But the rest of it is just kind of people wearing stretched out sweaters.
Right. Like you're currently. No.
I mean, right. And listening to new metal.
Maybe, although the sweater I don't think is that stretched out.
It's definitely not. Mm. It's as tight as the day Reagan was still in office.
Because I'm that ripped, everybody.
Well, you know, I insist that the sweaters be at least a size too small, mummy.
Is that Trump doing a Reagan impression?
Yes, it is. Because that's the only way he's going to survive the next 2 years.
Dyeing his hair dark and growing some shoulders?
Well, he's not going to grow shoulders, but...
Don't give him ideas. He's probably listening to the podcast.
Oh, my God. If he was of our, like, 75 listeners, that would be very bizarre.
Myopia is huge and bigly. It's the most tremendous podcast ever.
Okay, they mentioned my daughter a lot. My daughter whom I'd like to have sex with.
You can't even?
Are you a white girl all of a sudden?
How many cats could a white girl can't if a white girl literally couldn't even?
I taught you that.
Oh my God. I am now calling you master.
Oh, gross. Both of you are gross. I mean, I don't know who you want to talk about. Who's the worst in this movie? Is it Carrie Ann Moss?
No, she did a good job, I thought.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Did she now? Okay, go to the beginning, Daniel.
Let's go back to the beginning where Neo's in a train station with the characters who are
doing
programmed.
A Three Stooges bit. There's a little girl named Sati, an Indian man, and his wife. And his wife apparently is like an antivirus, so she's sniffing at him. Who are you and where do you come from?
Yeah.
Who are you and where do you come from? And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm a computer program who learned about love. And now I'm going to talk to you about love as a computer program. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's the literal accent they use. So.
Oh my god, this guy came out of the, like...
He came out of Apun Nahasapima Petalon's womb.
I was gonna say, like, he said, I will show you how it is done, Apu. I will teach them all about love. And you're just like, dear god. Thanks, Lana. Or whichever Wachowski wrote this, Lily. This dialogue is just... And Sati's like, hello, I am very pretty. And you're just... And there's a timekeeper, and there's a gate. Like, they're waiting for Dozer, for Christ's sake.
Oh, the train master that they're waiting on is the gyro captain from Road Warrior.
He is. He is a chud of a man with long hair and a beard, and he is another computer program.
Who towers over Keanu Reeves, which I didn't think was possible, but apparently it is.
They borrowed all of Tom Cruise's Apple craze.
I guess so. Okay, so there's a scene where the family gets on the train, but the train master refuses to let Neo on, and that's after Morpheus and Trinity try and confront the train master to...
With Seraph, who's a character from all three of these movies. He's,
no, all two. He was in Reloaded, he was in this, he wasn't in the original.
He's the Oracle's, like, bodyguard, like, his man Friday or whatever, and he's, I mean, all these dudes do kung fu, so I'm not gonna say that he's the kung fu guy. I would like to see just a big, like, burly, barrel-chested guy fighting, like, drunken boxing style, just throwing good right hooks. Because everyone's doing kung fu. Like, where do nerds learn kung fu? And I say that because eventually they're doing it outside of the Matrix, and that's just bullshit. Like, Neo's now, like, been out of the Matrix presumably for a while. We really don't know, but for a few years. And so apparently he knows how to do kung fu against Bane. But Bane electrocutes his eyes out of his head, which is something that happens.
Well, that happens later. But, yeah, you're not wrong.
There's just so much here. They go to see the Oracle. No, sorry. They go to see the Merovingian, who's also the Frenchman, who's also the Merovingian, who's married to Monica Bellucci,
who looks amazingly hot in this movie.
She's just wearing like a corseted bodice thing, which.
Did you just say modest in terms
bodice,
of...
Bodice,
oh, bodice.
A corseted bodice, and she just stares like. Like, with light glaring off her tits, she's like, oh, he is in love. Oh, my goodness, it
those
is
were
about
the,
love.
Those were the two best characters in the second one. They have, like, what, one scene in this one?
Well, because in the second one is almost like a mob movie. Like, people are getting roughed up in the streets. You actually see the inside of the Matrix. There's a godfather called the Architect. Like, there's shit happening. In this movie, it's like a World War II movie without the fight scenes. It's 2 hours and, like, 10 minutes long, and there's the fall of Zion and a fight scene with Dr. Smith.
Oh, Neo, you caused me so much pain. Oh, Neo, where are we now?
Where are the teenagers?
Oh, Neo, where's your sister?
Danger, danger, plot-heavy device, danger! I tickled myself.
Agent Smith, by the way.
Yeah, Agent Smith. I do love the Agent Smiths assimilating everyone. Like, you pay for less extras when every third person is Agent Smith, I guess. And give Hugo
guess,
Weaving.
Guess Hugo Weaving got that bathroom.
He got so many bathrooms. He got a new garage.
Mr. Anderson, I've peed in three toilets today. Three separate toilets. I'm about to pee in my fourth.
Did you bother to flush there, Hugo? Did you flush? I was worried if you had all those toilets, you were gonna flush.
Was that Peter Jackson directing Hugo Weaving?
I was trying to do New Zealand. Hugo. Damn it. I lost it. Hugo.
Mr. Jackson, I have better things to do than listen to your crap.
Speaking of crap there, Hugo, did you crap in the right place this time? Or?
Eat my crap.
Gross.
I've already done a movie where I did that.
Because sure humans are a virus.
You don't understand, Mr. Anderson. You guys stink. Have you smelled the ship? Everyone's wearing stretched out sweaters and smell like Jaquar Noir took a shit in this toilet. There aren't any toilets in this world. Did you notice,
because
Mr.
Anderson? Because the purpose of all toilets is to flush.
Okay, so Agent Smith's whole thing was, I don't even know what his whole thing was.
I think he just wants to kill everyone.
Kill everyone or assimilate everyone?
Well, he's like, yo, human life has one purpose and life is to end. And he starts out in the first movie as just, you know, hating humans because he thinks they're a virus. And now he's like, you know, not necessarily destroy all humans, but he says the purpose of all life is to end, and he wants to assimilate everything in the Matrix and in the real world into himself.
Well, and with that in mind, the big get he has is, other than assimilating a child, he assimilates the Oracle.
Right. Well, there's a whole bunch of things that happen between Smith, the Oracle, and that, which is Morpheus and Trinity go to the Merovingian, and the Merovingian asks for the Oracle's eyes, and Trinity says, I've had enough of this shit, and that's the end of that scene.
He puts a gun to his head, and the Merovingian is like, the definition of love is a definition. I can't do his accent. He's the real French.
Well, that
the
was Monica Bellucci that was doing
that. Insanity.
Right, right.
You're just mad because a chick with a crew cut has a gun to your head.
A gun to my head?
I'm talking about the Merovingian.
All right.
He was just being a little whiny.
Well, they rescue Neo from the mysterious train station, and after that they jack him out, which I know sounds like a dirty joke, but that's how it's referred to.
Yeah, it is.
And then he goes to see the Oracle, who's trying to explain what's going on, but fails.
And makes cookies.
And makes cookies. There's so much here that just ends with, and then makes cookies. Like, this movie is so bad, guys. I don't know how you're defending this.
Well, Neo doesn't become important. Well, he, like, takes one of the ships that they're piloting to go to the Machine City, and that's the last we hear of him until the third act. And then between his leaving and the third act is the whole battle scene between Zion and the Sentinels.
Yeah, the Sentinels that don't seem to have any ranged weapons at all.
Yeah.
Why would they need missiles? No guns. They just swarm and stab people with tentacles.
Why would they need ranged weapons? Humans aren't supposed to be where they are.
I'm assuming the machines have endless factories on the surface. They know there's a human city underground with guns. I mean, hell, if I were doing this, I'd drill a hole in the ceiling and drop a nuke down in there and then send in the machines afterward.
Well, while you're planning annihilation for all of humanity, I have a question for you. How are they flying? There's no propellant.
They don't
seem
to have any rocket engines.
Nope. It's already bullshit to begin with. And in fact, at one point, we just see the Sentinels being fired out of a cannon at ships. So they are the missiles, Matt.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious if these are the machine civilization is ruled by machines who rebelled against humans, if the Sentinels develop sentience and rebel against being used as kamikaze machines.
That's what they are.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, no, we're not going to be human wave cannon. Well, not human wave. We're not going to be cannon fodder for you, giant baby head, anymore. Giant baby head. Well, crap.
Well, and let's stop you there. It's all stupid anyway, because if you kill off all the humans, you lose your power source.
But those are humans in Zion. The ones in the Matrix are still...
The whole thing is that the humans are supposed to be the power sources of the robots, right? That's 2.5 movies ago. Something that they forgot about, which is significant, because at the end of this movie, they pretty much destroy the robots. Does that mean they kill all the people in the robot world? Does that mean they kill all the people in the Matrix? Because if
Smith had assimilated all the people in the Matrix,
does that mean they die?
Well, maybe when he dies, they get puked back up again, like the Oracle and the Architect.
Well, yeah,
but we don't know. Like, none of this is explained. It's all hockey horseshit. I don't know why you guys like this movie so much. The more they try to explain, the more it falls apart.
Well, that's the thing with the first Matrix, which I'm going to go off on my rant here. First Matrix.
Your first one or your second rant? We scheduled two of them.
Fifth or sixth one at this point.
Yeah, right.
The first one is a great action movie, but its treatment of philosophy and everything that it's trying to pretend like it's smart about is stupid. Mm-hmm. It has the exact same problems that the sequel does and that this one does, which is that it's all just so obvious. I mean, if you want to really see a good approach to this premise, go watch Dark City.
Yeah.
I mean, these great action movies. If that's your thing, go watch them, but not really a whole lot more than that.
Well, I mean, and whether or not you think this movie is good or not, you know that because what is ripped off from this movie is how stupid the dialogue of the first one is. There are two pills. Like, how many things ripped that off in the first 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
And then the effects are good. The movie looks good. The rest of it is bullshit. It's like the Wachowski got the wrong message, right? Like, everyone thinks we're so smart. So smart. Let's make a sequel, and then let's do Speed Racer.
This movie is literally the equivalent of Homer Simpson lighting his high school diploma on a fire and going, I am so smart, SMRT.
Well, I mean, this is like people who, like, watch the prequels and think George knew what he was doing the whole time. Like, this screams midichlorians, doesn't it? This whole thing? This is, I mean, I guess...
Neo's midichlorian count is off the scale.
I mean, and I'm making that joke because we're doing Star Wars.
In those prequel in those sequels is some bulba.
Did you know you have cancer, George? You sounded pretty rough there. Your dangler is a little... Is it stuck in your zipper? That's happened before.
I'm worried to unzip it because I'm worried about the blood.
Gross. That's so gross.
You know, Steven... Steven, I'm...
you sound sicker this time.
Do you mind unzipping me?
George, we said after the last time, I wouldn't. You have enough money to fix your gobbler. Now, George.
Well, I don't want to, Steven.
It became Grey Acres or whatever. Grey Gardens. These are the film stills from when I was still a great director. Yeah, now, George, tell me about how when you were a great director.
I was the toast of Hollywood. Everyone wanted me to make the film. I offered it to Ron Howard, and Ron said, no, George, we want you behind the camera again. Well, you know, George asked me to direct Return of the Jedi. It's me, David Lynch, and I was totally in line to direct Return of the Jedi. But I insisted that the Ewoks be naked. I insisted that they be naked.
I don't think I was wrong.
Nudity represents the vulnerability of the Ewoks. Do you understand what I'm saying, George?
It's much more dominant when an Ewok hangs brain in the face of a dead stormtrooper. When you can see his fuzzy nuts, it means that he's conquered. Think of the toys we'd sell, George.
Not the toys we want to sell, though. That could be the problem.
Not the toys we want, the toys we deserve, George.
Well, I understand why you'd be obsessed with hanging nuts, but I'm more obsessed with trying to protect the Ewoks, especially the Ewok women, from the dominant males in the Ewok society.
The Ewok with the dragon tattoo.
Do you understand what I'm saying there, George? We could really be on to something in about 40 years.
So I was smoking.
Please. Save the Ewoks from trafficking.
So I was smoking some weed with an Ewok, and I thought, hey, you know, Chewbacca. Chewbacca's a big Ewok. And then I was wrong.
There's nothing to talk about in this movie.
Well, we already talked about the Zion battle. Let's talk about when Neo gets to the Machine City and Trinity dies. Spoilers for a, 15-year-old movie?
At least.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, so Trinity dies after she sees the sun, which was a big deal in the first one.
Yeah.
And then Neo gets to the Machine City and says, you can't stop the computer virus that Smith's become, but I can, so let me jack back into the Matrix.
And if you lose, I won't lose.
I won't lose because Smith is cans. He's cans.
I won't lose because the Wachowskis couldn't think of what happened if I lose. So
there's going to be a lot of Christ imagery.
Oh my God!
Well, there's plenty in the first movie.
Yeah, but give him angelic wings in this one.
There is literally a scene where he's like on the cross.
There sure is, and Trinity dies also kind of by like being stabbed through.
She gets impaled on a bunch of rebar, and it is painful to watch
because rebar exists in the future.
It's painful to watch because she doesn't die for like 4 minutes.
Well. Talking quite a bit.
Yeah.
I will say something the first Matrix did get right was 1999 was the height of human civilization. That town in Australia that they filmed it in or whatever that shitty line is.
Sydney?
Was it Sydney? I thought it was Melbourne. Was it Sydney? Whatever. But like, it was like, the thing is, it wasn't even the major city. It was like a small corner of a small town that tried to make look like a city. And you can very clearly tell that it's just a market. Like, it's just one park that they film everything in that first and second movie.
Could you look that up and see where
my phone's on airplane mode.
Probably.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Please check the Tribune.
Yeah, I'll do it.
The peak of your civilization.
Mr. Smith. Mr. Anderson, I'm Mr. Smith. What's happening? I'll get this right.
Get away from me! I'll go ahead and describe...
Yeah, he starts freaking his cookies out. After basically beating up Neo.
Well, there's that big Dragon Ball Z fight beforehand where Neo jacks back into the Matrix and everybody's Agent Smith, and he is sent to beat them up. And
you like what I've done with the place?
Yeah, exactly. And first, the Agent Smith that's fighting Neo is supposed to be the Agent Smith that possessed the Oracle. So he's like Uber Smith or something.
With prophetic ability.
I guess.
Yeah.
But either way, there's this huge battle, and at the end of it, they're both in a crater, and Neo's lying down, and Smith's trying to say, I've seen this before.
And then he starts freaking out like something is scaring him, and I never really quite got what was going on.
Well, because he's prophetic, and he's seen the end.
Well, and he realizes maybe he's seen the wrong thing, or that the scene's poorly written. It's mostly filmed in Australia, in Sydney, and in Oakland, California, apparently. So after the Dragon Ball Z fight, as you rightfully call it, I mean, like, I'm not correcting you.
There is literally a scene where Neo punches Agent Smith, and Agent Smith's mouth just, like, in slow-mo, you see his lips quiver, and then you see him go...
And then suddenly it cuts back to fast motion where he flies across the scene and crushes into something.
All that's missing was Agent Smith declaring that Neo's power level is over 9,000.
And they even have the weird glow around them.
Dragon Ball Z things was like a close-up frame shot of some guy's face going, ah. I don't remember that. I do remember the slow-mo punching.
How does it, like, the movie ends?
Well, the movie ends officially where Smith possesses Neo, and then the machines electrocute Neo so that they all die because they're all shared hive mind.
And that's it. I mean, the EMP doesn't work. And then we have this weird kind of like epilogue scene where the Oracle's back to normal, talking to the architect, just a white guy in a suit, and he's like, so. I guess we're at peace. And she's like, we sure are at peace.
I will say this about that ending with the Smiths. It's visually impressive. There's like that light that goes through their eyes and then they just explode. And then you see that helicopter shot, I guess, of every Smith exploding. Visually, it's effective. But then the more you think about it, the more you're like, really? That's it?
That's it. It's a very neat way to end up a movie. But it really does feel more like a video game than it does a movie at that point. There's no anything. Like, there's no... It even ends with just like, so what now? Well, I guess there's peace. And the people who want to leave the Matrix, they can leave the Matrix. I don't know why they'd want to, but they could.
What do you think I am? Human? Literally a line in this movie.
Rimshot, I guess?
Do you remember in Scary Movie 3 where George Carlin was the architect?
I try to forget those movies, but I think the third one is also the one that had Leslie Nielsen. So yes. I watched it. I mean, it's not good.
It's not good, but isn't that a better casting choice?
Yeah. Anyone who can act. These people are, well, they get actors. They just don't have them do anything. Like, Jada Pinkett Smith is the only one. And who's that poor Aussie guy who was the captain of the ship before she shoves him aside? You know what I'm talking about? The one who's in charge, and he's like, no one can fly through that gap. And she's like, I can fly through the gap. I'm an American, so woo boy, I'm going to shove you aside and fly your ship.
Oh, God, who was in this movie? It was Harry Lennox.
Harry Lennox might be the guy I'm thinking.
No, it's Harry Lennox was the angry commander. He's like, if it was up to me, I'd demand that every man, woman, and child be out there with a gun.
Yeah, Captain Mifune, who has no inside voice.
Yeah. And all he does is scream, like... As they're literally tearing him apart, he's screaming. As poor Ensign guy is tearing apart, he's screaming. Like, it's just all crap. Can't believe you guys kind of like this movie.
Well, it's entertaining and fast-moving and has great special
it's
effects.
It's 2 hours it just, and 10 minutes
It doesn't
long.
Feel slow.
It is the most boring thing. I could not pay attention, guys. It took me
but
two
it
times.
But so much of this movie just doesn't really make sense.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong. All right, Daniel, give me your final judgment, then Matt, then me, and...
I think this is a good hangover movie, by which I mean, when I was watching, it's like, yeah, I acknowledge this is the thing. It's on my TV right now. I'm not even going to try and pay attention to it. Every once in a while, they have a good action scene. Why not? But Nick's not wrong. I mean, if you really look at it, it's just terrible plot-wise, philosophy-wise, directing-wise, everything-wise, which I am totally trademarking right there, everything-wise. But, I mean, for what it is, and I remember back when the fandom was so excited about this movie, it's okay. It's a hangover movie. What else is there to add?
Matt gave it 7 out of 10 stars and watch it once.
I don't think I'm going to review it. I don't really have enough to write a review of substance. I think it's one of two mediocre sequels to a great movie. The sequels really didn't need to be made. But they're not bad, but they're not good. They could be better, but require redoing a lot of stuff.
They took enough money to cure cancer, and they put it in a pile, and they just burned it. And they just laughed and laughed as though they were playing a practical joke. This movie cost $145 million to make in 2003 money.
Well, I mean, that sounds... I remember when that was extravagant. And I mean, that's how much they're spending on like any piece of crap that they've released.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the money's worth a lot less now. But like, it made eventually... It lost money in the States. It only made $130 back. It ended up making all of its money overseas, and that's also a precedent for a problem that's coming, which is that if we throw CGI at crap, China's going to eat it up, which is a whole nother issue.
Oh, remember when The Matrix Reloaded was like a huge box office success?
Because everyone wanted to see that first sequel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they learned their lesson. Like, this is just awful. Like, it's kind of like, I think, honestly, it's what scared Peter Jackson, right? Because he was like, oh, that first one was a success. I don't know how big the second one and third one are going to be. I better film everything together. And
well, by the time this came out, I mean, Peter Jackson was already done with Lord of the Rings.
All three of them had come out?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. 2001, 2002, 2003.
They learned something from Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson? From Peter Jackson?
I am so glad that Dead Alive and Bad Taste and Meet the Feebles. Are getting... Restorations,
that's what you were happy about? Isn't he going back to horror, didn't he say, after he's doing this Tintin movie? He said he was like, I'm really excited that horror's coming back. I want to make another horror movie.
I hope he does.
I mean, it's such, like, can you imagine him getting $250 million to make a horror movie? I don't even know.
I can imagine him getting $15 million and creating the best horror movie we've ever seen.
I'm now imagining a mega budget sequel to Bad Taste, because Bad Taste has a sequel hook.
Yeah.
So $250 million of a dude with a chainsaw, his brain hanging out of his head, killing aliens.
I'm a Derek. Derek's don't run.
I wanted to make a sequel for the woman with her face that was in soup. I thought that'd be really interesting. No, what's the one with the woman who eats her face?
Dead Alive or
Dead
Brain
Dead? Alive. She's well, a Dead Alive.
Yeah.
Anyway, this movie's awful. Never watch it.
Compared to Dead Alive, this movie's crap.
But compared to anything, this movie's crap. Watch John Wick. Take a freshman philosophy class. I don't care. Like, everything about this movie is awful. Like, they were supposed to be sad when Trinity dies, and all they do is use, like, cheap tricks. Like, she's barely been in the movie. Neo is barely in this movie. I don't know how they, like, screw that up, but he's barely
Morpheus
in it.
Morpheus is barely in this
no
movie.
No one is in this movie. It's all on Mifune. Who gives a shit about Mifune? I'm here to see Agent Smith fight. Like, he practically needs to say, like, I'll get you next time, Neo. Like, he's goddamn Inspector Gadget.
I'll get you next time, Mr. Anderson.
That would at least have tension.
I'll get you next time, Mr. Anderson.
Also,
next time.
When did Neo become an idiot? Bane calls him Mr. Anderson, and he doesn't blink an eye.
Yeah, nobody seems to get, I mean... As someone pointed earlier, you're not likely to have a conversation with an agent and survive. But as you pointed out, Neo should recognize him. Maybe Trinity might.
But no one knows his name except for Agent Smith.
But they picked the guy who played Bane because he could mimic Agent Smith really well, and he pulls that off pretty well.
Well, right, but my point is the characters act like idiots.
I'm agreeing with you.
But like, no one acts like a human being. No one acts like a human being in this entire movie. That's why it reminds me of like 300 or one of those sword and sandals pieces of garbage. Like they're all pontificating the whole time. This movie's terrible. Don't watch it.
Pontificating, eh?
Speaking of pontificating, next month is your month. Matt, what did you choose?
Made for TV movies.
So next month, Matt, you chose the category, which is made for TV movies. We're starting with Thomas's choice, which is Merlin.
Ooh, there we go. Speaking of New Zealanders.
Yeah, Sam Neill stars as Merlin in a piece of shit ABC, I think.
Did this really a piece of shit?
I remember it being good, but that was also a very long time ago.
Yeah, I remember it being really hokey. I guess we'll see. Stay tuned for the month of February when we're going to do made-for-TV movies, followed very closely by we will announce this now. In the month of April, we will be doing a listener request month. So if you want to be a public defender and you're following us on Twitter, but you're going to post on either Twitter or on Facebook the movie you want, Daniel, Matt, and I will pick out of off the list which ones we want, and then we will tag you at the beginning of the episode. So let us know if you want us to tag your blog or whatever. But stay tuned next week and every future week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Do Better Podcasting and a member of the ESO Network. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Daniel Suttis and Ann Burke. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Ann Burke. Thomas Herman is our consultant. Nick Hoffman is our executive producer. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incompetech.com. It is licensed under the Creative Commons license. Thanks.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.